This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
As car makers make big strides in autonomous vehicles, semi-autonomous vehicles, racing against Silicon Valley firms to perfect the future of cars, one glaring staple in every car has been left behind: the dashboard screen. Can they get it right?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. As car companies continue to race to the autonomous finish line, you would think a high-tech dashboard would be a given. Not so much. Here to discuss what's behind the technological challenges that's become of the dashboard screen is Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Rogers, based in Detroit, and joins us on the line right now. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So with all of the advances we've made and are continuing to make in the car world, we're grappling with something a little bit more basic: dashboard technology. What are the main consumer frustrations that are being brought to the table as of late?
Well, they fall into basically two camps. One is the actual kind of software glitches, crash systems, displays freezing. And the other one is the usability. There's no kind of universal standard about how these infotainment systems are supposed to look or operate. So a lot of the times it's just trying to, you know, figure out how to use them and what buttons to push and how to get to certain screens. They're not exactly intuitive systems. And this is basically a big departure from, say, your handheld devices, which are a little easier to use. So it ranges all the way from software bugs to just basically clumsy systems.
That's interesting. To see this disconnect is kind of odd, because automakers have made significant moves in creating systems that function like popular handheld electronics that we all use.
I know, you would think. I mean, clearly, designing a car is an engineering marvel in itself.
Right.
You would think that, you know, in something that is a little more basic, in kind of an electronic display, it would be easier. But at the end of the day, this is not where their expertise lies. A lot of these infotainment systems are very software-driven. And yes, they do have, they operate more like consumer electronics. And this is not an area that automakers have generally excelled in.
Right, and just out is the Consumer Reports annual vehicle reliability study. I imagine they've hit upon this in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, all these technologies that are entering the cockpit have largely dinged automakers in many ways. I talked to Consumer Reports head of automotive testing, and he said, basically, the systems are getting better and they're getting worse. And what he meant by that is, you know, some of the older systems have made big improvements, but as, you know, newer systems are rolled in, they're running into the same kind of, these automakers are running into the same kinds of learning curves, and as they become more widely deployed, there's certainly a much larger chance for things going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they still remain a big frustration. In fact, Consumer Reports yanked their recommendation of the Honda Civic in part because of owner complaints about the infotainment systems. They had problems with the systems crashing, problems with different gauges and audio just kind of going out. And so, yes, this is still a big pain point for automakers at this point.
Wow. I'm just curious, are there any companies with a better handle on this, perhaps, that could possibly serve as an example of some kind?
Well, yeah, and one thing that Consumer Reports said is those who got in early, for instance, like Ford, I mean, they were a very early mover in this space with their sync system, and they had a lot of trouble. They had a very steep learning curve. But now they're on their third generation, and, you know, Consumer Reports says they are, you know, the usability and kind of the functionality of it has really improved a lot. I mean, there's still bugs to work out. They also cited BMW's iDrive. Again, another early mover in this space. They said a lot of the bugs have been worked out. And just generally, I mean, overall, the longer that you have a system in your car, the better it gets. I mean, that's true just of the mechanical parts, but also of the software-driven systems.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how timing and pacing is coming into play here, because it ultimately seems like smartphones and smart tech is outpacing the rate in which cars are moving in this field, and it'll all depend on whether car companies can keep up.
The big issue here is, look, there are very different requirements and product development cycles. I mean, a handheld device, one, is much smaller. It's it doesn't have to go through the rigid safety requirements a car does. Mm. And, you know, it's easier to update. I mean, it's so in a way, it's an easier task to perfect the software on that. A vehicle, I mean, it's held to the very rigid safety standards. It's held to very rigid regulatory requirements. And the product development cycle is usually 2 to 3 years long. And so when a company goes to redesign a car, it's not only the software they have to worry about.
Right.
You know, it's all the mechanical underpinnings of that vehicle. So it's not easy to just, you know, kind of change one thing quickly. Now, with automakers starting to phase in like built-in Wi-Fi hotspots in the vehicle, it's going to be easier to update the software, you know, via an internet connection, much like you do your iPhones. But that's still, I mean, it's taking them time to get to that point.
Puts it into some good perspective here. Christina Rogers, thank you as always.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Once again, we've been speaking to the journal's Christina Rogers. She covers the auto world extensively for the journal, so you want to make sure you follow her stories at WSJ.com. That wraps up the Tech News Briefing for right now. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.